I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. We are celebrating 20 years in business and just entering our seventh year of doing this program. We have a few exciting changes. First, we have a new 2014 open line format that comes with the launch of our new website. We can also find it, and you can also find an archive of past topics on our publications events tab. Plus, our new book, Cracking the Business Code, is available on Amazon, or you can click on the book icon on our homepage. Majid has an entire chapter on this particular topic in our new book, which is a wonderful read. Lighthouse has been growing at a very rapid pace over the last 36 months, which you can read about on our website. Our topic today is IT will make money for your organization. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services. We'll be hosting our program today. We have a few housekeeping items, and we're going to jump right into our topic. For those of you joining us for the first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement to bring effective insight to your organization. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments to raise the hiring bar. We assist companies with a variety of services, including interpersonal coaching, executive onboarding for success, leadership training for the 21st century, exploring global options for expanding your business, sales and customer service training, and operational productivity improvement. Each of our programs helps to avoid getting stuck in shallow waters so our clients have smooth sailing. We also offer a number of workshop topics to associations and trade organizations. If you'd like more information, please email me as indicated on your screen. On our Keeping on Track open line series, it's always in response to the calls that we get and from clients both domestically and globally. And we work very hard to address the various business issues that most organizations are facing today. So they're very topical issues that are driven by our client base and those attending these programs. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, so on your screen you'll see an area you can send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible. So please join us with your thoughts and insights along the way. At the conclusion of our program, we're going to open up the line so you can talk directly with our guest. So you may want to write down two or three questions to either send in during the program, or you can ask once we open the line up later on. You'll also want to have some paper and a pen handy to take notes, since we'll be sharing many ideas that you'll want to consider and implement with your team and trusted advisors. Our special guest with us today is Majid Abai, the founder and CEO of the Abai Group, Inc. His focus is on cutting-edge technologies, including big data, mobile enterprise, SaaS, cloud computing, crowdsourcing funding, combining with his executive leadership skills around new markets, turnarounds, rapid growth, global expansion, fundraising, and M&A have delivered measurable results to his companies and his clients. For the past 30 years, Majid has successfully founded and led several public and private U.S. and global organizations. Majid has been a member of fiduciary and advisory boards for several for-profit and non-profit organizations, and is a member of the Tech Coast Angels, a large angel investment group in Southern California. Majid is an active member of Vistage, the largest CEO network in the world, and Majid also co-authored the book Data Strategy, has published several articles, and is an adjunct professor of computer science at UCLA, talking about one recently he attended and spoke at in Germany. He holds a bachelor's degree in computer science with a minor in management. I feel privileged to have Majid with us today and to share ideas that will help each of us in preparing for the future and for dealing with today's business issues. Also, registration for our next program will begin at the end of this program, and the topic will be global strategic planning. What are the 10 top considerations? Majid, welcome to OpenLine.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me, and thank you for everybody else for joining and allowing me to take some time to discuss how we can transform an IT department into really a revenue center for our organization and help either increase their revenue or save costs for the company while really improving the relationship between departments. I would like to start by saying that this is not a technical conversation. This is really a management conversation. And I would like to talk from the point of view of management as opposed to point of view of the technology. So that is very, very important for us to really consider it from that standpoint. Usually what we have found in our research is that depending on the company, IT departments go through different metamorphoses. And some companies stay at some certain level and really doesn't matter to the size of the company, but some companies are really grow and they evolve into, their IT departments evolve into their next level of IT department, which we're going to cover. And the idea for us is to really talk about different types of IT departments that are out there. So I will take a little bit of time going through it, but the conversation really quickly will turn how do we change our IT department to go from being a infrastructure-centric type of an IT department, an application-centric IT department, an operation-driven IT department into really the more 21st century type IT departments, which are information-driven and strategy-driven IT departments. So please allow me to really walk you through those different types of IT departments, and I will start by infrastructure-driven IT department. The focus, and you will see that in a lot of cases, you will see that I'm comparing different areas together. In this particular case, really, their focus of the IT is really nothing but infrastructure. They're focused on telecommunications, internet, email and website, whether it is a marketing website or it is a static website. They really want to focus on desktops and laptops, and servers and networks, and that's essentially where it ends. It could be a small business that they're doing this task for, and in some cases I've seen large businesses where the VP of IT has told me that we are step above the secretaries in this department. So they haven't been given that much authority to do anything else. Although the VP of IT in that company, it was about a $25 million organization. As far as governance and security, there is none. There is no governance, IT governance in place. There is minimal backup of the information. There is definitely no disaster recovery or risk management associated with any of the work that is being done. And there might be some basic login password there, which is easily crackable. There are no processes associated with management of the infrastructure or controlling the servers. There's probably a back room somewhere where the servers are located, and that will double as the data center. Applications are basic. Some accounting applications, there are some practice management applications, and there might be, depending on some organizations, there might be some other applications involved, but they're really small, customized applications where possibly the programmers are external. And there is really the IT department's focus is on that particular level anyway. What is the department's focus? They're very, very tactical. The idea is that they're going to put out fires. They're not really aligned with business goals. And from a strategic direction, there isn't much of strategy within the organization. So naturally, CEO views this organization as a cost center. And historically, when you look at it since 1960s or 70s, where really the IT departments were at it, we were always considered a cost center to the organization. It wasn't such a case that it was even structured under the CFO of the company just to make sure that those costs are really, really managed properly. The next category that we have seen is a category called application-driven. So in an application-driven organization, it also works the same way. So everything that you heard about infrastructure area remains the same. They're focused on infrastructure tasks, but there is some changes here. There is a little bit of backup and recovery planning because there is some other applications in this place. Login and password, they have probably improved, and there are some better login password tools out there. Governance, still not there. There is no documented concept. There are no formal processes, but there might be some software development lifecycle concepts. There might be some quality assurance, some tools associated with problem tracking, and as well as password change procedures. There is some application development processes. So maybe they have a shopping cart on the website, and maybe there are some CRM, and there are some internal apps in addition to everything that they had before. But there's still some things that are missing. So maybe the salesperson gets a credit card from a customer, writes it down on a piece of paper, or emails it over to the accounting department to be charged, and this credit card number is really not protected. So there is not much of a compliance associated with doing this. Department focus is still extremely tactical. They are really putting out fires. They are not looking at any way of building any kind of a strategic view. In most of the cases, the IT department doesn't even understand the goals of the business or where it is going. CEO still looks at it as a cost center. On the operations-driven type of a environment, things are beginning to really take place. So we are seeing that infrastructure is there, it's being spruced up. Some governance is coming in. There is some governance associated with major systems. Now they have really systems that they have to protect. They have to worry about a little bit of disaster recovery concept. They have already thought about backup of the data. They have to worry about security associated with the customer data that they're keeping in various places. There is some risk management from outside intrusion. And they have built in a centralized security system for login and password. There are some processes associated with application development, security, and infrastructure. They're moving to major application implementation, ERP, some powerful CRMs, whether it is Salesforce.com or other type of CRM, sturdy CRM application as we call them. Some additional internal applications that are being done, but one of the things that is happening right now is data is still in silos. So they haven't really combined information, and in some cases you will see that they will have multiple customer databases, and they will have multiple even accounting system, maybe because of some small mergers and acquisitions, maybe because of some of the work that they have done in the past. They really haven't been able to integrate the data in order to really truly take advantage of it. The focus is tactical, but they're really moving to strategy. They're seeing some of the conversations. They're being invited to sit at the big boys table, if you would, and really hear where the direction is heading. From a CEO's view, though, it is still a cost center. The next category that we see is a category that is really starting to move to the 21st century type of an organization, and that's an information-driven IT organization. The infrastructure is the same. We are really spending some time on the infrastructure, but we are very strategic about it. And I will talk about that in a few minutes. Governance and security is being thought about. We are now implementing various IT governance concepts. We are really thinking about different types of compliance, whether it is PCI compliance, HIPAA compliance, or Sarbanes-Oxley. We have established processes, and the established processes will run the gamut. How do we develop a system? How do we choose a vendor? How do we manage security? How do we do various levels of processes that are associated with an IT department? We have implemented something in the organization that we have never done before. We have had reports before, but we have never had analytics. So we are starting to do some analytics across data silos. So we are doing master data management, which means we are really identifying what is master data for our business, whether it is a unified product list, whether it is a unified customer list, whether it is a unified vendor list. But at the end of the day, it is master data that we are managing it and we're controlling it and cleaning it really in order to do it. And on top of that, we are applying business intelligence, document management, knowledge management into the business in order for us to really find patterns within the data that would help us increase the revenues or decrease the cost. One of the questions that this space is able to answer that we have never been able to answer in the company is what is the lifetime value of a customer? It is something that we see over and over. Now it is increasing a lot, the conversation is. And I apologize if most of you know this, but allow me to really spend a couple of minutes on it. And it is knowing what the duration is that an average customer stays with us and how much on an annual basis they would spend with us. Now, I know many of you will say that, well, it varies, depends on the customer. That is true. And it varies, depends on the customer segment. But the reality is that if you have been in a business for a while, then you have a pretty good idea how long an average customer stays with you and how much do they spend on an average year. Let me use an example for you. An example is that a CPA firm could have multiple types of customers. One of those customers could be a corporation that does a lot of accounting and auditing with them. And they might spend a certain number of dollars per year, and they might stay a certain number of years. You also have individuals who bring in their tax return, and they have a completely different lifetime value. And they could also have small businesses that they don't need audit, but they just use the accounting and tax there. If we use an example of the latter, which is the small business that comes in, spends maybe $10,000 a year with them and stays with them for 10 years, the lifetime value of this customer or an average customer like them is about $100,000. Now, if we know that and if you're able to increase the value of the customer, the lifetime value of this customer, by 2 years, by providing different marketing concepts, by really providing better services, by providing better touch points, and increase the upsell, the services that we have to them, into changing the average to about $12,500. At the end of the 12 years, we will have increased 50% the amount of revenue with the lifetime value for that customer. And that's a lot of money and a lot of increase in revenues without us having to really spend that many dollars doing so. So analytical applications will give us the ability to really analyze this type of information and to see how our efforts are successful.
Majid, the question just
A
question just came in if I can summarize this, in the past, accounting would have been responsible for providing that kind of data, but you're suggesting this is really coming more on from the information technology side now, which makes sense to me, but it was interesting that somebody brought up the accounting people used to do those things.
Information, that's a very, very good question. Where does an accountant will get that information? Some of that will come from their accounting system. That's correct. But today, a lot of information is coming from various systems that we have in our disposal. There is the ERP. There is the CRM. Often there are different systems. There is social media where you're gathering the information, whether they like us or they don't like us and why they like us and why they don't like us, information associated with competitors. And it really becomes the job of the IT department to really integrate the data and provide that information to accounting so that they can share it with marketing, they can share it with customer service and accounting in order to be able to really make better decisions.
That's a very good you know, another question just came in on that.
Sure.
Somebody wanted to know if you're going to cover this or maybe address it now. They're suggesting that a lot of companies don't look at the integration of all the feeders on that. And so if the CRM system isn't really harvesting or designed to harvest, it's missing a lot of things. Data, if things are coming in from the internet, same thing. Will you be addressing that later on, or you want to talk about that now further? That's a big topic.
We can talk about that now. For a minute, that's why we are talking right here, that an information-driven IT department really takes account of all of that. Again, 20 years ago, we owned all the information within our data center. Today, that is not correct. Some of our data is sitting on a SaaS product, such as Salesforce.com. Some of our data is sitting on Facebook and Twitter and different types of social media. Some of our data is sitting right here in our data center. And some of them are really is the information that we gather coming in from different sources. So the idea is cleansing, transforming, and integrating this data into knowledgeable, analyzable information. And that's the general idea that we are hoping to get with an IT department of the 21st century. Most companies are starting to think about that, but they haven't gotten there yet.
Thank you. Huge topic.
Sure. So as you can see, that all of a sudden the department focus changes, and we are really looking at a strategic IT department that is really upfront and in the forefront of helping companies really either save costs or increase revenues. And from a CEO standpoint, all of a sudden, you're looking at a revenue center, or at least, you know, a cost-saving center for the company. And that's great transformation. The last category that we're seeing is a strategy-driven organization. And in a strategy-driven organization, again, you're infrastructure is really not as important to us anymore. We have probably outsourced the infrastructure because we don't really want to spend our resources focused on that. We want our resources to really be dealing with compliance, governance, and security, managing processes, and really developing applications that provide competitive advantage to the company. We probably have an arm in our IT department that is doing research and development on what are the tools that are coming into the market that could be beneficial for our marketing and sales department into really taking advantage of information. Department focus has completely changed. We are strategic. We are really participating in conversations associated with the 3 to 5 year planning, and we want to really align the organization to get there into those goals. And we anticipate the need as opposed to really react to the need. And I have a great example of that that I personally encountered in an organization that I'm going to talk about. And we focus on the right KPIs. Our KPIs are no longer how many problem tickets we close for the IT department. Our KPIs are how well can we support the goals of marketing, sales, accounting, and other areas. So the CEO's view changes. IT becomes an advisor to the executive team of the company. They're able to really sit down and bounce ideas of how can we make this company better. And that becomes a very, very important concept. I have a graph here. I don't know how well it shows on the presentation, but essentially it shows how an IT department would travel from being a tactical IT department into a strategic IT department and how its focus really changes from being a cost center to being a revenue center for the company. one thing that is very, very important, that an IT department doesn't have to go through those phases to really get there. It will take time, but one could jump over some of these concepts and really transform itself into the level that it really needs to be. In some cases, it will take several years to get there, depending on where the IT department is at. But there are really areas that we could cover. I would like to use an example of a company that we talked to. They were really an infrastructure-driven type of a company. They were focused in refrigerated logistics, essentially taking fresh produce and frozen produce from manufacturers over to different distribution centers of major food chains. And they had the basic infrastructure and nothing else, a homemade ERP and practice management system that was several years old and it had passed its shelf date. We were talking about this, and we were talking about whether a better IT department would be able to support them. And they said, we don't think that's going to be helpful to us. So I simply asked the question, do you have a way to help your customer, the distribution manager at the supermarket, to be able to really find out how much they have in inventory or ask you to distribute them from warehouse A, refrigerated warehouse A, to the supermarket? And they said, no, they have to call in. And I said, how important would it be for them to really be able to be sitting anywhere they are, have an app or have a website where they can go in, see all the inventory that you manage for them, and be able to distribute that and be able to track that? And it's an extremely, extremely valuable. And that's the difference. The minute you're able to put that into perspective, that would help the management transform really what the vision of that IT is and how they can go about reaching there. And now they're on a path to really get to that point. They have to do a lot of work, but eventually they will be able to align that with the direction that they need to go. So essentially, it becomes up to management to decide what kind of IT they would like to have. And it's really not a monumental effort. It's just a matter of changing some of the perspective associated with the direction that we want to go. So the first thing that we need to do is really, really align IT with business goals. This is the key aspect of these transformations. And a lot of times you've all heard of the book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. In a lot of cases, we are seeing that IT people are from Mars and business people are from Venus. They don't speak the same language. We have heard a lot of times that IT doesn't understand our business, doesn't want to understand our business. And in a lot of cases, the goal is really to make sure that everybody understands that we are part of the same team. We are really going towards a certain direction, and these are our goals. So it becomes
two questions just came in. Sure. What are the access labels on the graph, and is outsourcing IT incompatible with being strategy-driven?
Excuse me. Whether it is outsourcing or insourcing, let me answer the second one first.
Okay.
Whether you're outsourcing and insourcing it, to me, is really not as important as managing it correctly. So depending on the strength of the company, we make recommendations what part of it should be outsourced and what part of it should be really kept in. My personal view is, and this varies from company to company, that we would like to maintain the areas that are strategic to the company. And we would like to outsource the areas that's really not as strategic. So depending on the goals of the company and where the company is going, it is really, really important to decide which areas we want to keep internal and which areas we don't want to keep internal. You were talking about these this particular graph that we are showing associated with aligning IT and business goals and the access associated with that. If that's what we are talking about, it's really a business loop. That IT strategy really is driven by business strategy. We cannot be different than that. We have to know, IT has to know where the business is going and really put itself into an area where it can really support that. One of the things that we have seen is that in a lot of cases, just to talking about that alignment, there is an invisible wall between IT and business, where business throws the requirements over the wall to IT. IT says, come back here in X number of months. And when the 3 months or 9 months or 5 months comes back, IT really throws it back over the wall to business. And it really doesn't work anymore. It worked, again, in 1960s, 70s, 80s, and even in 90s when we were, IT was the specialized field where nobody understood it. With the new generation, that is not correct anymore. Everybody understands IT now. We have grown up on technology in most part. And it really helps if we include business as part of that conversation. It is really not a foreign language anymore. So, and that part is up to us and the IT department to really be inclusive onto those conversations. The other thing that we are seeing a lot happening in organizations is that IT acts as a vendor as opposed to a partner. So in that case, there is no long-term vision in building an application. So we get the requirements and we just deliver to that requirement without really saying, what is it that you're really trying to do? What is the business problem that we are trying to solve? Maybe there are other things that we could build that could support you in the direction that you're heading. IT really delivers to requirements as opposed to really helping defining the requirements. Maybe there are better ways of solving the business problem. We are disengaged. We are disengaged from business as opposed to really being part of the business and understanding the day-to-day information that they're gathering from their customers and their needs. We are very, very cost-centric in a vendor model, where in a partner model, we are ROI-centric. And in a vendor model, we're really solving problems as opposed to anticipating those problems and really shooting to solve them before we think that would happen. So attitude, at the end of the day, a partner becomes fully embracing, where a vendor is really separate. It's just a different part of the business. So that's an important aspect for IT department culture to change from being a vendor-type culture to a partner-type culture. The other important aspect, and we talked about a lot about it, is being tactical versus being strategic. An IT department really needs to become strategic, needs to get away from putting out fires on a day-to-day basis and really think about how can I solve problems 2, 3, 4 years down the line. It doesn't mean that we don't put out fires today, but it also talks about how do we prevent fires from happening so far down the line. I want to talk about a very, very quick example of how this would help. Imagine a company, and this is a true story, so I'm not going to use the name, but imagine in a company, the executive decided that they're going to increase the sales by a number of percentages per year for the next 3 to 4 years. Now, in a tactical company, IT really doesn't have to do anything. IT will say, what do I care? You go ahead and increase the sales. There's nothing I can do. If you want a software, let me know. I will support you. In a strategy company, though, IT will realize that if they increase the sales, then they probably might need some new sales people. They might need more bandwidth. They might need more equipment. And therefore, let us be proactive in securing the infrastructure associated with the bandwidth, talks to the telecommunications company that supports them, talks to the vendor that provides the products and the computers that these folks will going to use. We'll probably think about putting some automated phone systems where that could be tracked. And really the quality of calls could be measured better. And that's the example that a strategy IT department could use versus a tactical IT department. We talked about this part as well a lot. There has to be different aspects associated with IT management that they have to be really documented and also executed. There's governance and compliance, security and processes all have to be fully documented in order to be able to support them. And more importantly, we have to implement KPIs that completely match the organization's KPI. So it becomes up to the non-technical management, the senior executives of the company, to define what are the roles that IT will play in really assuring success for the next few days. I would like to spend a few minutes and talk about some emerging technologies that might be helpful for some of your companies in deciding the future of the IT. And some of those include big data, mobile enterprise, cloud computing, and knowledge management. And I will use some examples associated with them to be able to help you decide whether or not they are important to your organization. We use these emerging technologies really as a competitive tool and a differentiator with the way that we talk to our customers, or we are able to gather new customers coming in into the organization. Big data is, in my definition, is that it is gathering, integrating, mapping, and analyzing a collection of massive data stores in order to gain competitive advantage or insight associated with one specific subject. I would like to give an example of it. An example would be a bank that is able to use various data stores in order to, when you call to the organization to maybe talk about your mortgage payment, they are able to really offer you a different type of a credit card based on your previous credit score that they have already gathered, or that it suits you based on the amount of money that you have in the bank. Another example of it is this is something that we saw, and it was very, very interesting, the analysis of a DNA into really supporting some potential future diseases that one might get, and to help them really change the lifestyle in such a way that they can take a proactive action against that potential disease that will come in. Another example that we saw was within one of the systems that we helped implement a few years back. A veterinary hospital chain was able to really analyze all the invoices that were issued during the day across the country, over 300 or 400 different hospitals, and find out if there were potential charges that were missing based on the rules that were established for the type of services that they provide. So there are various ways that your company can take advantage of it. And in most cases, that data already exists within your organization.
Majid, a question just came in.
Please.
On the big data. So whether a company is selling pipes or insurance or travel or funeral services, financial services, doesn't quite matter, selling bread. Any examples for a smaller company, let's say a firm that does any for $20 million to a couple hundred million dollars, how they might apply big data?
It doesn't matter the size of the data. It is really what matters is it doesn't matter the size of the company or the size of data. It is what matters is that you have to look at valuable data. And I personally think big data is a little bit of a misnomer. And the idea is to really look at the valuable data that is sitting within the databases of your organization. So to me, small company can take advantage of it, mid-sized company can take advantage of it, and a large organization can take advantage of it. There is
it's a matter of having the discussion as to the data that's already there, and that's where
correct.
People are missing it because they're just looking at it as IT
correct.
As a functionary thing. Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
Exactly.
That's perfect.
The next part that I would like to talk about is mobile enterprise. And the key is that we are looking at mobile in such a way that our, as I mentioned earlier, customers, vendors, employees, partners, everybody that we deal with on a daily basis really is moving towards the direction of utilizing mobile as their main mode of communication. So the question comes in, what is our company doing in order to be able to help them really achieve that kind of independence from the office? And there are various ways that we can go forward. Let me give you an example. A few years back, we talked to one of our clients, a fast food restaurant chain, not that big, probably for about 50 locations across U.S., Northern U.S. and Canada. And their idea was that their employees needed to learn about different types of products that were being offered to them, offered within the store. So in order for them to be able to learn, they created a mobile learning tool that employees could watch on trains or on buses, or at night sitting at home, they could learn about maybe a new burger that was being served or maybe a new marketing campaign that was going on, and really be able to learn how to logically have continuing education without really going to a classroom. And that was a great way for them to go forward. And now we're seeing that mobile is really becoming one of the main tools to use. And it's very, very quickly taking on place. So that's something that you might want to think about. Cloud computing is another area that we are hearing a lot about. Whether we want to really take advantage of it or not, I think there are some cases that really make sense and some cases that might not yet make sense. If there have been major investments into data centers, it might not make sense into moving this data center off at this moment. But if there is a company that is being built today and there are no particular restrictions about cloud computing, it might be a great way to go. There are some pros and cons associated with it. In case of pros, first of all, it's scaling. In a lot of cases, the cost is really, really attractive associated with cloud computing. It is a pay-as-you-go model, and you can increase and decrease the amount of power that you need in a matter of seconds, really. Managed services, so you don't have to hire people to monitor and manage the area. And then it also helps to manage the next generation of architecture so you don't have to continuously upgrade your servers and network and so forth. The other side of it is that the view is that it's a lack of control if it is a SaaS model. And also there are some discussions whether it is as secure as having an in-house data center or not, which I'm going to bypass right now because that's a major conversation and debate to have. The last one that I would like to talk about a little bit is about knowledge management. And the idea is that there is so much knowledge sitting within our organization that right now we don't know how to take advantage of it. And in a lot of cases, knowledge management tools will allow us to do it. One of the fantastic examples that I've seen is being an example of a law firm that they know by accessing all the lawyers' calendars and information and contacts, also the cases that are pending. If one of the lawyers has a case going against the judge and another lawyer maybe had lunch with that judge a couple of months back, knowledge management will show it. And they're able to have a conversation with the other partner who might be in a different office altogether and be able to really get a better read on the judge and therefore maybe improve their case. A negative example of that that I came encountered a few years back was I walked into an auto parts company. They created different parts for different major auto manufacturers in the country. And as we were having a conversation with the CIO, he said that I asked him what the biggest challenges that they deal with. And he said lack of knowledge management. And I said, how so? Essentially what happened was that when they built the part for a particular company, they never kept the design. So if the competitive company came in and wanted the same exact part, they had to go really design it, build it, then send the line, do the quality, set up the line, build the quality assurance criteria around it, and manufacture it and ship it. So it cost them so much money just on the design and setting up the line and quality assurance that they had learned they needed to really get into a knowledge management model, although they could have saved themselves, and ultimately they did, save themselves a lot of cost associated with that type of a manufacturing process. That brings me, and I'm a few minutes late, so I apologize for that, to the conclusion of our conversation, but I am very, very happy to answer any questions, or should any other questions come up to you, there is an email contact that you can have. Please send me emails, and I'm more than happy to respond to you and to be able to support any questions that you have. So I appreciate the time that you have given me, and thank you for your participation.
Oh, this is great. We're going to open up the line in just a minute. So everyone hold on there. I just want to we're going to turn the recording equipment off in just about 30 seconds. You'll see on the screen on the last slide here, our upcoming open line on June 17th is going to be Global Strategic Planning. What are the top considerations? So sign up today. Have colleagues sign up. You'll also receive a recording and PowerPoint for today's presentation today, and you can share that within your organization or with your association. Majid and I want to thank you for attending today. The information shared is the property of Lighthouse Consulting Services, LLC, located in Santa Monica, California. Our mission statement, to bring effective insight to your organization. If you have additional questions about our topics you'd like us to cover in open line, please email me at dana@lighthouseconsulting.com. And we appreciate each of you joining today for our Keeping on Track Open Line program. Let me turn the recording feature off, and then we're going to be right back, and the line will be open to talk to Majid. Hold the line for 1 second.